Bible, please, to 1 Samuel, the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 10. 1 Samuel, chapter number 10. I'm going to teach again tonight on why people have unrest, nervousness. I hope you'll follow me. I started to say I'll not be lengthy, but I said that last week. So I talk longer than usual. So tonight, I'm going to tell you I'm going to teach longer than usual. And maybe it'll reverse itself tonight. I just hope I'm not Bore Hiles, that's all. 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse number 6. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy unto them. This is Saul now. Saul, King Saul, has been anointed king, and this is saying, the Spirit of the Lord shall come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and thou shalt be turned into another man. That's a very interesting statement. I heard Brother Young preach a sermon on that one time. Thou shalt be turned into another man. Now that does not mean that he is not what he was. It means he is something in addition. Same thing it says when Jesus, it says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That doesn't mean the old creature is gone. It means a new one has come also. And let it be, verse 7, when these signs are come upon thee, thou shalt do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. Now I want you to remember that here the prophecy is to Saul that the Spirit of the Lord will come on him and he'll be another man. Now look at chapter 11 and verse 6. Chapter 11 and verse 6. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard those tidings, and his anger was kindled greatly. I'm not going to tell you the story. All I'm trying to tell you is that the fulfillment of what was prophesied in the chapter before. It's in chapter 10, verse 6, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee. And in chapter 11 and verse 6, it says the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul. I hope you'll give me a good hearing tonight. Father, bless the teaching of the Word of God. I believe tonight I can help some people to understand the condition in which they find themselves. But I must be helped by you, and they must listen to me as you speak through me. Make it possible, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, Holy Father, here we are again with the same blessed book, the same Holy Spirit, same preacher, same place, and largely the same people. We come tonight to learn a truth that will help us be more like you, serve you better, help me as I teach. Amen. I hope you really will listen carefully tonight as I talk to you on this subject. The average Christian person, when he gets saved, is happy, pleased, serves God for a while, and then comes to the reality that he's still a sinner. You see, as I said, listen to me now. As I said a while ago, please behave. I lost my train of thought because somebody's misbehaving right in front of me. So listen carefully to me. The average Christian, he gets saved, and then he thinks it's all cared for now, but it's not. You still got the same flesh that you had before you got saved. Now, what happens is that suddenly a fellow says, I don't think I'll ever say a bad word again. I don't think I'll ever touch a bottle of beer again. I'll never go back to the old life again. And yet, one day, to his surprise and shock, he finds himself going back to the old life. Now, he walks down the aisle, and I'm talking about the ideal case now. He walks down the aisle, and he asks God to forgive him. And he turns from his sin. But he's not the same. And in most cases, they never are the same. I know preachers who have been on fire for God till they had their first big battle. And they lose something. And then they come and they try to get it back, but they're never the same. Their chastity is gone. Their spiritual virginity is gone. They're never the same. And most Christians who come to that first time when they find themselves drifting or backsliding, They come down the aisle, and but they do not get back where they were. Now tonight I want you to follow me very carefully. Take your Bibles and open them again to 1 Samuel. I'm going to read verse 6 of chapter 11 again. I want you to notice with me a very interesting little Bible study. In 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse 6. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard those tidings, and his anger was kindled greatly. Now I want you to notice first that here is Saul, he's now the king, and the Spirit of God comes upon him. Now I want you to turn, please, in your Bibles to chapter 16 and verse 14. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 14. Now before I read that, look, once you find it, look at me for a minute. Look right this way. We found one thing so far, and that is the Spirit of God came upon Saul. You got that? All right, let's say it. First thing we found is what? The Spirit of God came upon Saul. Say it again. The Spirit of God came upon Saul. Now in chapter 16 and verse 14, look at it please. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Now look at me a minute. Look at me. First thing, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul. And then after five chapters or so, a few events, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. This does not mean that you understand that back in those days, the Holy Spirit did not indwell people. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit came on the resurrection of Christ, and that's another study. But it says here, and first thing, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul, and now in verse 14, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. All right, what's the first thing we've learned? Spirit says it all together. Ready? The Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul. What's the second thing that we learn? The Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Say it again. The Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Now, look at verse 14 again, please. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. All right, now notice. There was, the Spirit of God came upon him, and then we have in verse 14 of chapter 16 that the Spirit of the Lord departed from him, and an evil spirit came upon him. Now, what does that mean? That means that there was an intent to do wrong, an intent to hurt somebody unjustly, and an evil spirit came upon him. Now, look. So, what did Saul do? Now, follow me carefully. Look at verse number 16, please. No, 15. And Saul's servants came, or said unto him, Behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp. So look at me for a minute. Here's what happened. The Spirit of God came upon Saul. And then later, the Spirit of God departed from Saul. And then an evil spirit came upon Saul. God allowed to come. Just like God allowed Satan to test Job, God allowed this evil spirit. It's like God allowed Nebuchadnezzar to be used to punish his people. The evil spirit came upon Saul. Three things we learned so far. The Spirit of God, the Lord, came upon Saul. And then number two, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. And number three, an evil spirit came upon Saul. Now look at me and listen carefully. Somebody, as they said to Saul, Saul, you're something wrong with you. What's the deal? And Saul said, an evil spirit is on me. And so somebody suggested they find someone that could play the harp. Now just don't miss this. They could find someone that could play the harp, suggesting that someone come and play the harp for Saul, and no doubt the evil spirit would depart, and if somebody came and played beautiful music on the harp. Well, the word came. We know a guy can play the harp real well. His name is David. So David comes and plays the harp before Saul. Now, we have four things so far. First, the Spirit of the Lord did what? Talk to me. What? Came upon Saul. Second, the Spirit of the Lord did what? Departed from Saul. Third, what came upon Saul? A what? Evil spirit. And what was used to drive away that evil spirit? The playing of a what? Harp. All right. So David comes, and look at verse number 23 of chapter 16, please. Verse number 23. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit of God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Now look at me. We have five things we've learned so far. First, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul. And then the Spirit of the Lord what? Departed from Saul. And then evil what? Came upon Saul. And then who was it came to play? What did David play? A harp. And the Bible says that the evil spirit departed from him. Now, here's what I want you to notice. There are several points. I want you to, number one, the Holy Spirit came upon him. Number two, the Holy Spirit left and the evil spirit came. David played the harp and the evil spirit left, if you please. Now, two things happened to him and only one was corrected. You follow me? Two things happened. First, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and second, the evil spirit came upon. It came upon Saul. Now then, you got the Spirit of the Lord departing from him, and the evil spirit coming. Now David plays his harp. What happens? The evil spirit departs, but the Holy Spirit never came back. The Spirit of the Lord did not come back on Saul. So what happened was the harp playing got the evil spirit out. It got him in a good mood. It didn't want to hurt anybody. It got him in a good spirit. But the Holy Spirit didn't come back. So what happened was only one of the two things was corrected. The two things that were bad was Holy Spirit left him and the evil spirit came. Now when the harp was played, the evil spirit came back. That corrects that, but didn't correct the other. The Holy Spirit still had left him. So David played the harp. The evil spirit left. Two things happened. One was corrected. Why? Listen to me, I'll tell you why. They use the wrong method. You don't get the Holy Spirit by listening to a harp. You may get in a good mood where you're not going to try to hurt anybody, and the evil spirit may. What Saul needed was a red hot sermon. You see? Preaching a red hot sermon would have gotten the evil spirit gone and the Holy Spirit back. You see, that's what happened to you when you got walked down the aisle. You came down the aisle and you asked God to forgive you for your sins, and God did forgive you, and you went back, but it's not the same. Why? Because you didn't get the spirit back you had before. You got rid of the evil spirit, but didn't get the Holy Spirit back that you had before. You understand what I'm saying tonight? And that's what happens. That's why folks come down here, this altar, again and again and again. And they want to get back what they had. But what they had was the Holy Spirit, and all they did was leave what they didn't have before and get their sins confessed and forsook their sins. But the Spirit's not there. I've known preachers that way. As they get older, they lose their zip, they lose their zeal, they lose their thrill, they lose their joy. Now, they do not live in sin, but they lose the positive side. Now then, let's compare it to somebody. Turn to Psalm 51, verse 9. Psalm 51 and verse 9. All right, now before I read this, I want you to catch up with me now. First thing that happened, the Spirit of the Lord came upon whom? Saul. And then later on, the Spirit of the Lord what? Departed from Saul. And what came upon him? Evil spirit. And then what happened? David played his, and what left? But a harp can't play the Holy Spirit back. These churches that have their anthems on Sunday morning and their classical music on Sunday morning, that may get you in a pretty good frame of mind, but it won't get the whole power of the Holy Ghost on you, see. So what Saul needed was old-fashioned hell-raising preaching. That's what he needed. But he didn't get it, and because he didn't get it, the evil spirit left. Let's just say he quit his smoking, quit his drinking, quit his cussing, but he didn't get his joy back. But let me show you what happened to somebody else. Look at that Psalm 51 and verse 9. Now, before I go into this, let me have your attention again. You're going to get your crick in your neck here. David had committed his twofold sin, the sin of adultery with Bathsheba and the evil of murder, plotted murder for her husband Uriah. Now, David is getting right with God, has gotten right with God, and is now saying something about it. Now, look in verse number 9. David is talking, "Hide thy face from my sins and blot out my iniquities." Look at me. David says, "God, take care of the meanness I've got. Forgive me for my adultery. Forgive me for my murder. Forgive me for my plotting. Forgive me for my sins. But it doesn't stop there. See, the evil spirit is going to leave. Look in verse 10. Create a clean heart in me, O God, and renew a right spirit. Now, how is that right spirit renewed? In verse 11. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted. And that's why David got back on top, and Saul didn't get back on top. Because David had lost the power of the Holy Spirit. An evil spirit came. David got rid of the evil spirit, but he asked for the Holy Spirit to come back. And then David was on top side once again. Why? What's the difference in David and Saul? Are you listening to me tonight? What's the difference in David and Saul here? Here's Saul over here. Well, the Spirit of God came on him. The Spirit of the Lord departed from him. Evil spirit came. They played David played the harp. Evil spirit left. But and by the way, Saul was never worth a hoot after that. Never was. Listen, just because you get your sins forgiven doesn't mean you're worth anything to God. There's a twofold getting right with God. First, you get your sins forgiven, and second, you get the Holy Spirit back in your life. Now, why did David get back? Because he took care of both. Why? Because a Baptist preacher came to preach to David. Nobody played a harp for David. Nobody played an anthem for David. Music is okay, but music won't get you totally right with God. Now, the honest truth is, music may get you in a better spirit. Dr. Rice used to stop in the middle of a prayer. Somebody is praying, playing the organ while he played. Oh, he hated that with a passion. I do too. But he would stop in the middle of a prayer. I can hear him now up in Michigan, Rochester Hills, Michigan. Oh, God, come in power. Oh, God, bless us tonight. Oh, Jesus, help me. And all the time, this guy was playing the organ. And Dr. Rice stopped in the middle of his prayer and said, "Shut that box off!" That's where I got all of this meanness. And so he started praying again. And she started playing again. It was a woman, so she wasn't obedient. And she started playing again. And Dr. Rice stopped his prayer. I said, "Shut that box off!" He said, if music will help our prayer, let's just clear out the pews and have a square dance and a dance band come in. Maybe we can get God's attention then. Yeah, you think I mean. You should have had John Rice as your pastor. And so the pastor was scared to death, literally scared to death. He gets up and he says to the organist from the pulpit, he says to the organist, "Now, Mrs. Jones, her name wasn't Jones, but I forgot her name, Mrs. Jones. Dr. Rice is praying now. Don't you play the organ anymore." And so, but he said, "Now, when Dr. Rice is gone and we have Sunday services, you play the organ just like you always have while I pray." Oh boy, that shouldn't happen. Dr. Rice gets up and he says, "I'll never be coming back here anymore. You make light of me trying to teach you to have the organist all be praying instead of playing. I won't come back." And he didn't go back there anymore either. Now, somebody's got the idea that music gets you right with God. No, music can get you in a better mood. Music can get you a better spirit. But music can't get you right with God. But old-fashioned preaching can. So we have two men here that both of them were kings. And the first king of Israel was Saul. Second king of Israel was David. Now we have Saul, the Spirit of God came upon him. And David, the Spirit of God came upon him. And the Spirit of God departed from Saul, and evil spirit came. And David, the Spirit of God departed, the evil spirit came. And Saul said, "I want some music." And the evil spirit left, but the Holy Spirit never came back. And God said to Nathan, "You go preach the devil out of David there." He went to him and said, "Thou art a man." And David said, "Forgive my sins." He said, "Pardon my transgression." But didn't stop there. He said, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Let me see if I can... And that, by the way, that's your problem. See, you think your sin is your problem. Your sin is half your problem. The other half is you need the Holy Spirit back on you like you had before. Let me illustrate. Ms. Hiles and I got married. Oh, I forgot how long ago it was. It was several years ago. In fact, it was 53 years and 7 months and 2 days ago. No, 6. Anyway, it's a long time ago. And for 6 years, we didn't have any children. And we called each other sweet little names, you know. And I'm not going to tell you any of them because the last time I did this at a ladies' convention, it's been picked up all across the country and there. I'm boopsie whoopsie everywhere I go now. And I don't like that. I like Dr. Boopsie Whoopsie a lot better. But anyway, I got all the Gucci Goos and she got all the Gucci Goos. We had no children. And then suddenly, boom, 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 boom. In 8 years, we had, no less than 8 years, we had 4 kids. Now, the truth is, she had the children and she got too busy for me. I had the fastest growing church in America. When our first child was born, I had a church with a... When Becky had her first birthday, we were running 50 in Sunday school. By the time Becky was 6 years old, we were running 1,500 in Sunday school and no buses. And I got too busy for Ms. Hiles, and she got with the church, and she got busy rearing children and so forth. And now, we didn't go to the lawyer. We called him, but we didn't have any serious problem, except we realized that we weren't as close as we used to be. Now wait a minute, we even fussed a little bit. We don't do that anymore. We even fussed a little bit. We're talking about now, 48 years ago, I guess. And one day we got things in order. Now hear me carefully. One day we got things in order. And we didn't fuss anymore, but something was missing. See, the evil spirit departed, but the Holy Spirit did not come back. You know what we did? We decided to go on a 2-week vacation alone. Left the beloved children at home. And my wife and I got in the car, and we drove for 2 weeks. We went to Colorado, the Rocky Mountains. We went to Taos, New Mexico, and Santa Fe, New Mexico. And for 2 weeks, we were alone together on a nice trip. Now, what happened? Not only did the evil spirit depart, but the good spirit came back. The positive came back. Then we got back home, realized what we'd done. So we decided, and this would be a good idea for every couple here, we decided that once a month, we're going to go on Friday morning and going to get a hotel or a motel somewhere and stay there till Saturday night. And so once a month, we went for 2 nights to a motel and were alone with each other and let the kids go to the wherever they wanted to go. And what happened? Our marriage then was restored to the joy that we had before we had any kids and the joy that we have now since they're all gone. But I'm saying that what happened was we thought that if we just quit fussing, that was enough. No, and your quitting your sin is not enough. Now what God says is this: what you'll do, you'll have a problem, and you'll go to some secular psychiatrist or psychologist. Now he may get the evil spirit away, but nothing's going to get the Holy Spirit back except preaching. Nothing. What you need is preaching. I said, what you need is preaching. Oh, you said, Brother Hiles, I want it soft. You may want it soft, but you need it hard. But I want it quiet. You may want it quiet, but you need it loud, what you need. And since when does a patient know what medicine he needs? So, here's Saul. Saul, Spirit of the Lord came on him. Spirit of the Lord departed. Evil spirit came. No preaching, just music. David played the harp, got him back into good humor, got him where he didn't hurt anybody anymore. Evil spirit departed, but the Holy Spirit never came back, and Saul never amounted to anything after that. On the other hand, here's David. David, same thing as Saul. Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and then departed from him, and then he went into sin. He got right with God and got the Holy Spirit back. Why? The difference? One difference. Music and preaching. Now, I love music. But they'll make popsicles in Hades before we'll have a concert here in the place of preaching. No, we're not going to have any. When I first came here, 40 years ago, It came time for the annual cantata. And our music committee, and they weren't bad people. They were good people that didn't know any better, that's all. And they said, it's time for our musical cantata. Oh, I said, wonderful. I said, so folks, we'll have it at 6 o'clock on Sunday night. Oh, they came and said, oh, no. It occupies the whole service. Oh, I said, no, it did occupy the whole service. It won't occupy the whole service here. You see, a lot of preachers just want to get out of preparing a sermon for a Sunday night, because they don't enjoy preparing sermons. They don't enjoy preaching sermons. But a man that's called of God and right with God, he enjoys both. So now for these 40 years, we've not had any cantatas during preaching. We've had no plays during preaching. We've had no movies during preaching. We've had no showing slides during preaching. You know, somebody needs to get the missionary straightened out. I'm going to say something that I shouldn't say, but I don't care. As old as I am, you're going to have pity on you. You're going to feel sorry for me anyway. You missionaries, quit going from church to church doing nothing but showing slides. You want to know how to do deputation? In first place, you go on deputation work and you show slides of a place you've never seen. We don't care what the mountain looks like outside the town you're going to go to. We don't care what the altar to Queen Jezebel looks like. We don't care. We want you to get up there and preach to us. And I'll promise you, you missionaries go around the country and you preach when you're going around the country, and you'll raise your money a lot faster than you will by showing these slides. You really will. It's amazing to me how dumb we are. See, I'll stand up here while you're in college and I'll say, music shouldn't take the place of preaching. And book reviews shouldn't take the place of preaching. And movies shouldn't take the place of preaching. Well, if I don't mention exactly what it is, you think it's all right. Let me just tell you exactly what it is. Nothing should take the place of preaching. Nothing. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. Now listen, I don't think that means exactly what you think it means. I think you think it means it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to get folks saved. Now, that's okay. It may mean that, but it means more than that. It says, please God, the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. What does it mean? To salvage the lives of believers, it takes preaching. That's all. Now then, I'll tell you a story. I don't tell it often. I don't like to tell it, but it's so illustrative. Go out to the cemetery. Look around pastoral garden, and you will see a father and daughter buried side by side. That father was a Sunday school teacher here, and if I listed the 10 best Sunday school teachers we had back in years ago, he'd been on the list as being one of the best 10 best Sunday school teachers we had, one of the best Christians in this church. But he got mixed up in sin. He came to my office and told me about it. And I said to him, you've got to give it up. He did give it up. About a month or two later, he went back into the same sin. He came to my office again and knelt and prayed and gave it up. But a month or two later, he got back in the same sin. After a while, he came to my office and he said, I'm not going to give it up. I'm not. I walked to the door of my office and put my hands out like that. And I called him by name and I said, you're going to walk, you're going to move me from this door. I'm standing here to tell you that you need to get right with God. And I leveled with him. And he actually moved me from that door. I did not resist, but he moved me and walked out into sin. I said to him, hold it, wait a minute. I said, if you walk past me and continue in your sin, I'll promise you in 7 days God's going to kill you. I think it was 7 days. I know I gave a period of time. I think it was 7 days. I know I said, in a certain time, God's going to tell you. Yeah, I may have said 24 hours. I don't remember it. I'll tell you what happened. In just a few hours, his wife called me, and she said, did you hear? My husband was drowned in the Gulf of Mexico where he went. He said it took one of our daughters with him, and she was drowned also in the Gulf of Mexico. Now, they're buried side by side out here at our cemetery. Now, what happened to that man? That man got rid of the evil spirit, but never got the Holy Spirit back. And that man, what he did, he quit coming to preaching. He quit coming to church. If you're not right with God, you need preaching more than anybody in the world needs preaching. But, oh, I'm backslidden, I won't go to church anymore. The more backslidden you get, the more you need church. And nothing will take the place of preaching. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. Not those that don't believe, but those that believe. To salvage them and change them. God bless poor Saul. He decided what he needed. David didn't decide what he needed. God sent the preacher to him. And Nathan pointed to him and said, "Thou art the man." Some of you folks listening tonight, you don't like kind of preaching that goes on here. Well, the truth is, preaching is not made to like, it's made to change. That's the purpose of it all. How many changed lives do you have with your book reviews back home? How many changed lives do you have when you show the slides? Or the movie? Or have the cantata? Some of you have lost the Holy Spirit, and the evil spirit came. Now, you've gotten the evil spirit gone, but you haven't gotten the Holy Spirit back yet. I say tonight, you came to the altar, you only did half of it. Two things you ought to plead with God for and beg God for. One is, plead with God for forgiveness. That's getting rid of the evil spirit. I mean, beg Him. Beg God to forgive you. Oh, God, forgive me of my sin. I'm turning from it. Oh, God, help me. I pray You'd forgive me. Beg Him for it. But that's where you stop. You get up then, go back to your seat. No, before you leave, beg Him for the Holy Spirit back. Because if you just get the evil spirit out like Saul did, you'll never mount anything. But you get the evil spirit out and the Holy Spirit back like David did, and you can be used of God like David was in a way he never was used of God before. Now, how do you get this Holy Spirit? First place, when you got saved, He came to live. But He wants to use you. I've said it often, I've said it again. Seven times a day, I pray, I yield myself to the Holy Spirit. Seven times a day, I pray this prayer. Holy Spirit, I yield myself to You. I pray You'd help me to cross the path of those whom Jesus would help if He walked in my shoes. Now, that ought to be on your lips over and over and over and over again. Secondly, I put reminders different places. In my briefcase, I have a reminder, pray for power. And in my refrigerator, pray for power. And other places, inside some Bibles, pray for power. Reminders. And then thirdly, every day of your life, talk to the Holy Spirit. I mean, He's a person. He's a person like your person. He's a person like Jesus is a person. He's a person. Talk to Him. It's an old story, and you've heard me tell it. Some of you have. Dr. Rice, one night, was praying before he preached. He said, "Oh, Father, help me. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, help me. Oh, Holy Spirit, come in power." When he got through preaching, a great theologian came up to talk to him. A freshman in college. A freshman of Bible college, when you know more Bible than you'll ever know. And especially about prophecy. So, this young preacher came up and he said, "Dr. Rice, you made a theological mistake in your prayer tonight." And Dr. Rice said, "Oh, what's that?" Dr. Rice had a little eye problem. When he talked to you, he looked like that. He said, "Tonight you prayed to the Father, you prayed to Jesus, you prayed to the Holy Spirit." He said, "That is theologically incorrect." He said, "You pray to the Father, through the Son, in the Spirit." Dr. Rice took his glasses off, chewed on a little bit, said, "Son, whenever you get old enough to know Him like I know Him, you can just talk to anybody who shows up at the table." But see, here's your problem. Your problem is the Holy Spirit's not a person. Jesus is. The Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit's not a person. Now, you listen to me carefully. That's why a lot of you folks tonight are sitting here and you're as cold as a freezer and you didn't mean to be. You were on fire for God one time and you went into sin. You came back out of sin, but you never got the fire back. You did exactly what Saul did. The Spirit of God came upon you. The Spirit of God departed. The Holy Spirit came. I mean, the evil spirit came. And then you got rid of the evil spirit, but didn't get the Holy Spirit back. Now tonight, you make a concerted effort to talk to the Holy Spirit, yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, accept Him as a person, and I'll promise you, it won't take you long before you'll be back where you were. But you won't get back where you were doing half the job. If you lost if two things bad happened to you, you've got to correct both of them. And just the correcting of having the evil spirit depart, it'll help you have a better attitude, all of that. But it won't give you the joy of your salvation back. And look at David in the 51st Psalm again, as he talks about this. He says in verse number 11, "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore me the joy of thy salvation, uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." Saul never became a soul winner. David did. It was David that wrote, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing a sheaf with him." Saul never wrote a thing like that. No. Saul's life was ruined. Though Saul got out of his evil, he did not get back the Spirit of God that he had. So half the job was done, and the reason was Saul used music and David used old-fashioned preaching.